Episode 300 of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by the fine folks supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport and Sperry, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars film with an amazing collection of footwear. Check it out at StarWarsReport.com/Sperry.
Splash to me. This is madness! This is Sparta!
Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, John Boyega has details on Star Wars Battlefront. Ian McDiarmid wants to be the Emperor? Kind of. We'll talk all about it right now. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Let's bring him in as my good friend and yours. He's been with me this whole journey of 300 episodes. It's Mr. Mark Herleman.
What's up, Mark? Hey, 300. It's insane.
Right?
It's nuts.
It's madness.
It's a good day for an anniversary, though, man. It's my 15-year anniversary with my wife as well.
No way.
Yeah.
I say that like you didn't just say that in the pre-show.
Right?
Congratulations. 15 years. That's a long time. That's like,
yeah, well, we've been together longer than that, but since we hitched up.
Yeah, since you made it legal, to quote.
Yes.
Speaking of Ian McDiarmid. Oh, man. Yeah, we've got a great show for you. Bruce is not available today. He will be back with us next week, which is a shame. I wanted to have him on, but he's got some family stuff going on, and so we're going to get him back on the show regular. And also, there's that whole Star Trek Discovery thing. I feel like it's stealing him from us. Star Trek is stealing our producer from us, Mark.
See, now I know we're not a Star Trek podcast, but it's really upsetting me that for the first time in my life, I cannot watch Star Trek just on TV. I mean, I was the antenna guy. Like,
Not even Netflix.
I didn't even have cable, and I was able to watch Star Trek. And now I have to buy a certain streaming service.
There's some blasphemy there. By the way, by I was the antenna guy, Mark means he was the kid who was holding the antenna. A little to the left. A little more left.
That dang wind would blow it every time, too. Like, oh, come on.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you have tuned into the Star Wars Report. This is our episode 300. In fact, I'm going to announce I'm just giving it away right now. Speaking of giveaways, I'm going to announce a giant giveaway. I have a giant pile of Star Wars stuff that I've been going through that we've collected here over the years. It involves things like Lego sets and action figures and tin comic covers, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and a Darth Vader toaster. Put it in the notes, Mark. Remind me, and we'll give it away right at the end of the show here. We're going to tell you how to win. We're going to have 3 prize packs, and that's literally all we're doing for our 300th episode. I figured we'd do a big giveaway, but like as far as doing something special or something, like, there's really not. We're just gonna do the show. Let's jump into the news.
Santosa, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right, let's go straight into kind of the top story. Mark, you were going through some of the notes ahead of time, and this really caught your interest. We're getting into Battlefront territory, but before we get into that, let's talk about, I think, what you know, it's official. The production on The Last Jedi has wrapped. It's a wrap. Get it?
It's a wrap, and we're not talking a sandwich.
Nope. And we're not talking Sweet Jam by Dr. Dre either. It's all right. Our puns are really bad this early in the show. It's not going to get any better, folks. This is straight from Rian Johnson's Instagram, and I quote, "That's a wrap on the hardest working post-production team in the galaxy. Going to miss sitting in dark rooms with these goobers." And he has a really fun selfie, and it's made official. So I just want to say, now that it's officially wrapped at the post-production, like, which is, man, what, it's September 26th as we record this.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lot of time until December. I guess it's all just like post-production includes the score. I mean, it includes pretty much everything. Is it just marketing?
Is there any kind of production from here on out?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there are tweaks here or there, but pretty much that's it.
So do they have a hand in the trailer? So the trailer's done and waiting? Or I'm still wondering, are we getting like a legit trailer?
Well, it's that one. Yes, we talked about this last week, didn't we, where Mark Hamill gave it away on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it, the ninth?
So that must be just sitting and waiting then, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he said the ninth, which is right after New York Comic Con, which, by the way, is my next destination. When I record the show next week, I'll be getting ready to roll out. That's always going to be a good time.
And my question is, how did Eric Geller get in the middle of this group? Like, is that Eric Geller? I swear, man, I'm looking at that and I'm like,
picture. Oh yeah, it kind of does look like him. All right, but let's talk Battlefront, because this is some real information. Mark, here's the thing. You said something that I kind of caught my attention, because I've seen the ads of John Boyega as kind of now the spokesperson, I guess, for Battlefront 2, which makes sense because he's a huge Battlefront fan if you've seen any of his social media. So I guess he was kind of positioning himself for that role. But he just explained the gameplay feature, and you're saying I should just play the video and let him tell the story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, just the sultry sounds of one John Boyega in your ear. Right. It's sweet sexiness.
All right, let's take a listen. Here we go. Nice. Seeing some Taco Donna.
Hi players, this is John Boyega, and this is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Battlefront.
With the dominating the multiplayer Battlefront as Kylo Ren, leading your squadron through thrilling dogfights in space, stepping into the boots of Iden Versio in a new single-player campaign, or mastering your skills in split-screen arcade, this is a Star Wars experience like none other, with greater depth and progression than ever before. Star Wars Battlefront 2 has nearly triple the number of locations, heroes, and vehicles as its predecessor. It all starts with the Battlefront. Kamino, Yavin 4, Fondor, Starkiller Base, and many more. Over 14 locations to explore across all three Star Wars eras. Star Wars Battlefront 2 introduces class gameplay. Choose from the assault, heavy, specialist, and officer classes, each with unique abilities, weapons, and weapon attachments that give you an edge in battle. But it's not all about the power of the individual. The better you play with your team, the more battle points you'll earn to call in powerful reinforcements, such as flame troopers or Wookiees, and a wide range of vehicles, both on the ground and in the air. Battle points are also key to bringing iconic Star Wars heroes into battle. From Darth Maul, Boba Fett, and Rey.
You want to fight?
Each hero has unique abilities for you to customize and master. Choose the right moment to call in your hero and turn the tide. And last but not least, we have starfighters. Just like troopers, each starfighter has a class. And just like battle points bring your favorite heroes into battle, they can also bring in your favorite hero ships, including the iconic Millennium Falcon, all with unique handling and upgradable abilities.
Nice.
The Star Card system has been completely rebuilt. These powerful collectibles exist for everything you can spawn in at, be it a trooper, a vehicle, reinforcement, or hero. You can find them in crates, or craft and upgrade them using parts. The rarer the tier of card, the more powerful its effect in battle.
Signature slot.
Choose the right star card for the right situation. Get ready to fight. Star Wars Battlefront 2 contains 5 different multiplayer modes. Blast, fast-paced, close quarters combat. Strike, strategic, objective-based battle.
That's what I like.
Heroes versus villains, where iconic Star Wars characters go head-to-head. Starfighter assault.
Nah.
Intense dogfights across high atmosphere and space. And galactic assault. Epic 20 versus 20 all-out warfare. Not ready for multiplayer yet? No problem. Perfect your skills and try out all your abilities offline. Play split-screen co-op, versus, or solo, and earn rewards. Star Wars Battlefront 2's single-player campaign debuts an untold story.
The Emperor is dead.
Helping bridge the events of the Return of the Jedi and the Force Awakens.
So what happens now?
We retaliate, Commander.
Yeah.
As Iden Versio, Special Forces soldier as equally lethal on the ground as she is in space,
you'll
fight
she
for
is.
The future of the Empire in a galaxy breaking apart.
Burn them up.
With a All few right. familiar faces along the way, It's up to you to rise as a new Star Wars hero. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is a massive world, and it's only getting bigger. With a live service that continues to evolve and grow, bringing new locations, challenges, and characters, such as Finn, of course, and Captain Phasma, into the fray. Heroes are born on the battlefront. This holiday, jump in with me and begin your journey.
Man, as awesome as all that is, I just love that remix of the Duel of the Fates. Listen to this.
It's only getting bigger.
Right here.
With a live service that continues to evolve and grow, bringing new locations, challenges,
wait for it,
and characters, such as Finn, of course, and Captain Phasma, into the fray.
Here it is.
Heroes are born on the battlefront. This holiday, jump in with me and begin your journey.
Nice.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, I'm sold, dude.
Right? I mean, when you look at the graphs and you're seeing how many more planets you can play at, how many vehicles and characters, you're like, oh, thank you.
The locations alone sold. I mean, I was already pretty sold on it, but I am definitely going to buy this game now. And it's and it's not just, I like the idea of the story mode. That was originally kind of what I thought, but the actual gameplay, man, it's just like, it just blows my mind the level of gameplay we have now.
The story mode for me is exciting because I literally just got done with Inferno Squadron. So to get to
was
play that character, it's really good. In fact, I'll talk about it more during Boba's Bounty. But
okay,
I mean, it's just exciting to be able to play that character after knowing so much about the character.
Yeah.
But I think one of the downsides, though, is that it's still single player campaign mode. And I'm just like, why? Like the squadron is four people. So you could play a multiplayer story mode. I don't understand why they're still limiting that. And I only say this, like, I don't want to harp on it. I only say this as a father. You know, like, I would love to play these things with my children in all aspects. My son is really good when me and him play, but we can only play in a mode right now that doesn't give us any points or any bonuses. Although they did talk about the offline mode that you're able to advance in that way. So maybe they made that kind of adjustment as well. But I was really bummed to hear that it was single player, because we have had instances at the past Battlefront 2 from the original Xbox where you could play dual mode in the story mode. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, the things that jumped out to me is the, I mean, I don't really, I think the star cards are weird and I don't like that system. And I don't particularly care about the Starfighter Assault. But man.
But why? Why don't you care about the Starfighter Assault?
I just don't like flight. I just don't like, I've never come across a flight gameplay that I liked.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever play the PlayStation 1 and 2's version of Starfighter and Jedi Starfighter?
No, I did not. I played, I liked Pod Racer, but that's not really flying. The pod racing game. But the blast and the strike, the sort of strategic, that's what I like. I like some sniper action. That's what I want.
See, I'm looking forward to the Starfighter aspect, but I hope that they allowed us to do more with the rolling.
Yeah.
I bring up Jedi Starfighter and the regular Starfighter on PlayStation because they use the analog sticks in a way where you could do a spiraling dog roll with it. Like, you could not only be doing a corkscrew, but you could be spinning in either direction.
Yeah.
So it really made being able to dodge and get away from your opponents so much fun. Like when you were on somebody else, granted in that game, it was a computer, but if you had to do it against somebody else, it'd be so hard to come in on somebody. You'd have to literally like team up with other people sometime to take them down. So maybe that's why they're not. But for me, like I like getting in the Starfighter and just chasing down people. I think one of the things I hope they modify it with is that we get a toggle so we can go from one person to the next on our radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. That seems interesting. I'm like I said, I'm sold. Hey, Mark Hamill's back in the news. The Daily Mail actually had an update on it. I don't know how this is possible, but evidently Mark Hamill finds Star Wars intimidating and terrifying still.
What?
What gives, Mark?
That's bizarre. Are we just talking like Star Wars itself or the process of making it? Because like I could see that. Like you're in an era now, especially with the mouse, where it's like, you know, careful what you say. You may disappear off of Twitter.
Yeah, well, I think he is nervous because the pressure, almost all the pressure and secrecy around Star Wars centers literally on his character, right? So like, and here's the quote he says, on something like The Last Jedi, it's such a massive production, the complexity of it all is just mind-boggling to me, and how Rian Johnson stays even-tempered and amiable. I never saw him lose his temper, never heard him curse or humiliate anybody, you know. I've had directors dress people down in front of the whole crew, so I was lucky to have his guidance. But he seems Mark's nervous about it. But I think that's a good thing. I like the idea that there is a lot of pressure because like this can't be lame. Like yeah. It's Luke Skywalker. You know, we've waited since the end of Return of the Jedi for this, and the entire buildup and hype of The Force Awakens, and then obviously everything since then has just added to it. But it's been now like 35 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a much longer wait period than the prequels. So this is a big deal. I think, you know, whether or not The Last Jedi, I really do think The Last Jedi can fall into the same category of Empire Strikes Back in terms of the quality of the film. But that entirely depends on Luke freaking Skywalker.
Well, do you wonder if maybe that feeling of seriousness also came in light of the firing of the Lego directors?
I'm sure that added to it.
They were known for bringing humor and stuff into what they were doing. And yeah. I mean, no matter what, when you're dealing with Luke, I think that's always been the issue when it comes to, you know, whether we were going to adapt EU or even what we've got right now. It's like, how are we going to do it? There's so many ways you could go about it, but everybody wants it right. You know, I mean, we argue, and I say we in a very loose way, but for most people like myself, you started out, you just had the original trilogy, and it was like, which one of these three movies was the best? And most of us went either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, and then some people would say A New Hope, but usually it was like kind of like a balance between Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. Like, those were like the main ones. And then you'd have the prequel trilogy, and a lot of people were still like putting those two films up there, you know? Like, we've always kind of had this love affair with those films. Like, there's something special about them. And that's, you know, moving forward, that was always the one thing that they've been very keen on capturing. And to know that they still have that idea when they're sitting there filming and they're getting The Last Jedi, that seriousness is carried over. You know that's brought over because these people are fans too. You know, they want to get it right.
No, it is. And it's and that adds to the pressure probably more so than it would be for George Lucas if he were doing this. So I absolutely agree, Mark. Absolutely. 100%.
Do you think Lucas was like calling Harrison Ford out in front of the group? Like that? Maybe that's what he's talking about. Man, you were just nothing but a door hanger before I brought you.
He's way too shy. Are you kidding me? George probably said like,
I'm like, I can't imagine George like blowing up like
faster, more intense. Yeah, I don't think he ever lost his temper. I wonder who the director he's thinking of is. I wonder like he's thinking of a very specific circumstance when he says, I've seen directors dress people down in front of the whole crew. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that's a specific.
Like one of the Batman movie. Or one of the Batman animated series behind the scene things. Something like somebody's just like Killer Croc's just getting ripped apart. Like, oh my God, the pressure here. Like the pressure's almost as much as like putting on 300 episodes of the Star Wars Report.
Right.
No, congratulations.
How did
man.
We do that? What grief.
I don't even know. It had to be with support and people having our back, you know?
No, that's true. That's true. Well, speaking of people who have our back, I should just take that moment right now to say thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon because, that's how we literally make the show happen, and you can support the program directly. We've actually had a few new patrons jump on in the last week, so big thanks, everybody. And you can do so as well, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's where we release our Rogue Transmissions weekly bonus episode where you can tune in. Usually it's just some fun after-show, post-show conversation or bonus interview and some fun stuff like that. So check it out, patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and join the Skype call. Actually, at the $15 level, we send you a T-shirt, and you can jump in our monthly Bothan High Council Skype call, which is coming this Friday, the 29th, in just a few days as you're listening to this. So if you want to jump in, you can hop in right there. I need to actually go in and confirm that because I need to get everything set up there to make it happen. But yeah, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Also, I do want to send a shout out to a sponsor that's joining us this week, and that's Sperry. They actually emailed us a couple weeks ago because they had just launched this really cool collection of Star Wars themed footwear. And it, Mark, these are pretty beautiful. I threw a link in the chat to you because it's so pretty. But basically, they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of A New Hope with a bunch of footwear that themes with that collection. And you can check it out at starwarsreport.com/Sperry. And that takes you to the link of the entire selection. They have five different shoes that you can choose from. And they have some really cool, comfortable slip-ons, like Han and Chewie, the droid one. Those are very classic. But they also have a Ralph McQuarrie design that's really cool. So, like, these are slip-ons that Peter Cushing would approve of. My favorite, nice. Actually, and they were kind enough to send me a set. I can't wait to get it in the mail. They have these... Death Star Cloud CVOs. These are these sort of boat shoes that have a really cool Imperial logo with green trimming to match like the laser on the Death Star. Same thing for the Rebel Pilot one they have, which is a nice bright jumpsuit orange with gray trimming. So check it out, starwarsreport.com/Sperry. Every single style is exclusive, available only on Sperry.com and their retail stores. Lightweight, breathable canvas covers. It's a great shoe, and I can't recommend them enough, and can't thank them enough for supporting the Star Wars Report podcast. So again, go to starwarsreport.com/Sperry. There you go.
Dude,
right there.
I don't know which one I'd want more.
I know, right?
The Rebel one is so beautiful, but the Imperial one, like the back little thing on the back where you pull your foot up, it's the back wall lighting, those little slant lighting that you get in the Death Star. Oh my God, no, I gotta have the Imperial one.
True story.
Those are so awesome.
And that's, by the way, that's spelled Sperry, SPERRY.com, StarWarsReport.com/Sperry. And we thank him for sponsoring the Star Wars Report podcast.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Good times. We haven't had one of those in a while, Mark.
Yeah. I do smell bad on the outside, especially when I'm out with my scouts, man. I'm like, give me pass the deodorant. Come on, guys. You know what that is? Use it.
They call them Tauntaun Hurlemen. Force of Destiny returns October 1st. What? This is a half-hour special on the Disney Channel, because we had that we've had the YouTube series, but now it's launching on the Disney Channel. Is this like the same episodes that's airing for the first time on Disney Channel, or is this new stuff? That's the question.
Yeah, that is the question. I mean, at a half hour, I mean,
it's gotta be.
Isn't that everything we got on the YouTube stuff is about a half hour? Maybe
yeah,
what they're giving us is about 20 minutes of the first season and 10 minutes of new stuff all composed as a half-hour special?
I was clicking through. The Jedi News had the link, and I was clicking through, but the video is not there. So,
Think about the Clone Wars did something similar. I mean, the episodes were put out of order. When they came out on DVD, you could get, you know, like the rookie stuff was all taken and grouped together. The Mace Windu stuff was grouped together. So maybe that's what they mean by special, because I mean, that's clearly what they meant when they made those special DVDs. I mean, there was new content there. It was just presented in a new way. So I could see them doing that, but at the same time, with this new stuff coming, like you could see them having other stuff put together with it, like bridging the two, having all of the first stuff and then going into a new episode.
I could see that. We'll stay tuned. We'll see it once it airs.
What's interesting too is the figures. They're now having the male figures come out, and as they mentioned here, they're soon about to be joined by the main characters such as Han, Finn, and others. So you know, I'm like, that's kind of cool because my little ones, they're loving this, but my son.
Have you gotten any of the figures for Jaina or anything?
I want to, but they haven't. Like I've been pushing for Sabine. They're like not caring. Like there's other little things that they want. Like there's Hatchimals. Have you ever heard of Hatchimals?
Mm-mm. No.
Like for the 5-year-old and 6-year-old market, this is the thing right now.
Right?
Like Disney, you need to be, you know, Hatchimal. Like you could do this Star Wars Dagobah Hatchimals where, you know, Yoda's in one or something,
Hatchimals.
Or a Bantha. But yeah, Hatchimals. That's what's got, like, she passes all the Barbie stuff, but we've gone by it a few.
Oh, wait, we're losing Mark. You've got a few what? Oh no! See, because I cursed it because I started Googling Hatchimals
and Christmas list and put.
That's the problem. We just were losing you, Mark. Are you back with us?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, sorry about that. You were saying.
Oh, I was saying how, you know, she was hooked on those Hatchimals, and I'm like, Christmas is coming, you know, you might want to put this on your list, you know, like Sabine's, like, I'm waiting for the mom, I want it, you know, like, she hasn't said that yet, this looks and I like don't want to be, like, buying it for her.
This looks like an Easter, sorry, I've just Googled it. This looks like an Easter thing, Hatchimals.
Yeah, yeah, they're little eggs. Collect that break open with little
Oh, of course they have My Little Pony ones. Or are those My Little Ponies? It just looks like My Little Pony.
They're very similar, yeah. There's some that look like the Spike Dragon. My daughter, that's my daughter's favorite.
It's like
right
Pie
now.
Little Monies. Yeah, they're not quite My Little Ponies. that's hilarious. Ian McDermott's back in the news. I mean, this is one of those things, like, I saw this trend everywhere. This is one of those things that just... He was interviewed with BBC Scotland's Timeline program. And he said, he's like, you know, he talked a little bit about playing the role and stuff, but he's like, no, anytime the Emperor happens, I want to play him. Like, an actor wanting to continue to reprise his role in the biggest film franchise of all time is kind of hardly a new story, but it did really make the rounds. And, you know, to be fair, though, you know, he's the best actor, in my opinion, of the entire prequels, with the possible exception of... Well, I don't know. I think Christopher Lee is the best actor in the prequels, but the best performance still has to go to, by far, if you ask me, to Ian McDermott and the Emperor.
Man, that's a rough call because I have got a soft spot for Ewan McGregor as Kenobi.
I mean,
Kenobi.
He's good. He's
Ewan,
good.
Ewan, my brother! Like, oh, man, I choke. I can't even put myself into trying to make his voice
you were going
sound
a little,
like himself.
Also, you were going a little Scottish Kenobi right there.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I couldn't even go. I couldn't even get to you were. I get choked up, man. That the way he delivers that line and the emotion he puts into it makes up for the fact that he had a false beard
you
in
were,
the...
yeah.
Cantino scene.
You are my brother, I mean, Anakin. It was said you destroyed the Sith, not joined them.
I love. I watched that one interview where he was talking in another London interview where he's talking about chasing kids around because he had his face shaved off. I am Obi-Wan Kenobi. I am.
Listen here, kid.
I would be funny to know if Ian McDermott ever had a moment like that, because unlike Kenobi, for Ian to be like, do it, like they'd be like, oh, okay, I believe you, Emperor. Like, that'd be kind of creepy because, you know, you see him, he's always so happy and so nice. And then you think about his persona as Palpatine and Sidious. When he becomes Sidious, he's definitely got the evil. Like, man, like my littlest one thought he was a demon when she first saw him in the mask.
Yeah, no, definitely. I could definitely see that. All right. Where's the thing? Oh, there it is. It's time for...
He was a lot to me.
Boba's Bounty.
As you wish.
That's right. Every week we talk about something we did, listened to, discovered, or experienced in the world of Star Wars. It's just what's going on in our lives as fans, regular old Star Wars fans. Mark, I read a comic. I read like six issues of a comic. I read like whatever the entire first run of Kanan is.
It's a good comic.
I read a Star Wars comic. You realize the last comic I read was... the one right around The Force Awakens. What was that one called? I always forget the name of it.
Are we talking Shattered Empire?
Thank you. Shattered Empire. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. But before that, it was like Legacy. I remember reading the Legacy comics.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Like, I don't read that many Star Wars comics, but I'm sucked in. I loved it. It was, I mean, some of the dialogue was a little hokey. It kind of
a little campy.
There's something. Sometimes Star Wars dialogue in this happens in Rebels. It happened in Clone Wars, and then certainly in comics, it just doesn't feel. It seems kind of dated, but in the present date. And so, like, some of the lines weren't great, but like the story of, and the minor spoilers for it. But I don't have it. I would pick it up and flip through it, but I just put it in the mail to Bethany since I'm finished with it, so that she can check it out.
Nice.
I read it. Also, see, I just went to, we have a local comic shop that's about, it's not that far. It's like 20 minutes tops from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always driven by there. I was like, oh, I should go in there. It's Dave's Comics and Collectibles in Fayetteville, Georgia. Shout out.
Nice.
I went in there. Man, so probably the messiest piles of nerdery I've ever seen, but it's awesome. Like, it was like, man. But I picked that up. I actually picked up, just because it was in like a pack together, like a Marvel introductory pack, X-23 number one.
Now, that's questionable as to which number one it is, because X-23 reset itself like twice.
But
I have that series. It's a good character to follow.
I really enjoyed it. And then Rogue One number one. I read that first issue, but I read the entire trade paperback of Kanan, and I really enjoyed seeing. Like, I'm a sucker for Jedi on the Run series. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I always really appreciated. I've always wanted more stories surrounding Order 66 and those who kind of survived it. That's what I loved about the era of The Force Awakens and how it touched on Order 66, Force Awakens, The Force Unleashed, and how that touched on it, and then, like, anything to do with that, to see, like, a young, you know,
it's one of the reasons
Jedi
why I love the new
smuggler.
Jedi Order, man.
Mm.
You get halfway through that series and on. And that's a good one for you to have picked, because, you know, of the stuff that's more, you know, what would have been expanded universe for the new canon, you know, Rebels itself is one of the ones that you enjoy, but you haven't been getting as much fulfillment out of lately. But this is aimed at expanding your knowledge of the characters in a way that is very satisfying. I mean, it is like, so nice to know about Caleb Doom, which is Kanan. You know, when he was a Padawan. And what's really cool is he's a Padawan to Dabba Bilba, I believe is how you say her name, who was a Padawan to Mace Windu.
I always
butcher it up.
I really liked that, like, the brief interactions with her and the sacrifice there for Order 66 and how he survived because of his master. And that's the thing. It's like, it was one of those, like, show, don't tell things. Here's the difference between, like, Caleb Doom, seeing him and the challenges he faced on the run from the Empire, trying to hide the fact that he was a Jedi, trying to figure out his path in this new broken world. That is a way more compelling story than Ezra's, because while Ezra's conflict sort of comes from the fact that, you know, he doesn't know what happened to his parents and where did his parents go, that's such a, it's a basically a subplot that's pushed to the back of the entire storyline, with the exception of like a couple episodes, to the point where if you asked me what happened to Ezra's parents, or like what was the conclusion to that storyline, because I remember in the middle of last season that was in a few of the episodes, I couldn't even remember. I couldn't tell you. To be totally honest, spoiler alert,
they died.
Oh, see, thank you. And I just like vaguely remember that storyline, and that's what I thought I remembered. But like that tells you how much it impacted me. The impact of like Depa Balaba, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Her sacrificing herself to save Kanan, and then Kanan having to compromise everything his master stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she was the one who saved his life and allowed him to live, like, that's compelling stuff. That's a great story. I'm just saying, take some notes, Star Wars Rebels.
The art too is above and beyond. But I think the difference here between Kanan and Ezra is, you know, Ezra's, before we see Ezra in Rebels, like, his life was all about finding his parents. And from that moment on, his story wasn't about that. We feel like it is at first, but it's really about his evolution and his path in the rebellion and his path as a Jedi. And it's, you know, we find out his parents along the way, what's driving him has been that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, your parents, by the way, they died. They died while they were captured. And then it became, what do I do? It was moving beyond that. And I like that that's also at the heart of Kanan's story is, what do I do when everything I know is falling apart? And then what do I do when it falls apart again? And for Ezra, the second falling apart is, now I'm not looking for my parents. Now I'm living on my own with these people on the Ghost, this crew that I'm a part of, this family. This is my new family. And so there's that interesting trade-off. But what I really love about this comic, and I think that you'll really appreciate the relationship between Rex and Kanan, is Kanan's outlook on the clones because of how betrayed he felt.
Well,
and so when you watch that stuff again, it's more charged.
Gotcha. And so, like, is that more? So, how much more of the comic is there? Because I just picked up a first trade, and it seemed for like a fairly complete story. Is there another trade, or is there another?
There is one, I believe, one more trade that keeps that goes a little farther than that one.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a good run, man. It's definitely a good story. And like I said, the art's awesome. So you definitely got the right one. Like of where your fandom sits, like, man, that was a honest to God gold medal selection.
I mean, I heard it was good when it came out. I just never got around to it because comics aren't really my thing. And I'm not going to sit down on, I'm not the type, I don't like reading it on an app, so I don't want to buy it on Comixology. And unless I go into a comic book shop, it was just a fun experience going in and picking up the physical book, buying it, and then flipping through it while I was on break at work. You know, I just read it throughout the day on break at work, and it was a good time. Also, X-23 was really good. Like, I was actually really impressed with how good that. Oh, and they had the Marvel Monsters #1. Whatever that is, the Monsters Unleashed thing that just came out at the beginning of the year has like the new Thor / Captain America. It's pretty good.
So really quick, there's Volume 1, Volume 2, and an omnibus. So I'm not sure which one you got.
Almost for Kanan.
The last Padawan is Volume 1.
Yeah, that was the one
volume
I read.
Volume 2 is First Blood.
Yeah, haven't read First Blood. All right.
Okay. It gets even better. Yeah. Right. And it's all the way around. Like, the omnibus is a good pickup.
Nice.
Too.
Mark, what have you been up to?
Well, for me, I just finished Inferno Squadron.
Nice.
Really enjoyed that book. There were a lot of, oh man, moments. There were a lot of parts that I read to my family because I was just like, oh my God, oh, I got to talk about this.
So, questions. Can I just pop quiz you? Like, I just want to know about
this. Sure.
All right. So, I know it's about Iden Verso. I know it's about, why do I keep wanting to call it Renegade Squadron?
Inferno Squadron. Renegade Squadron.
That's
was
the other Battlefront.
The third Battlefront
not to
game
be confused
that was only
with
on handheld.
Rogue Squadron. Not to be confused with Blood Squadron. Wait, is Blood Squadron a thing? I just made that up.
Or Wraith Squadron.
Wraith
also
Squadron. Ghost
there's a
Squadron.
Few different, yeah. Twin Sun Squadron. There's a lot of squads. But this is actually not even a squadron, though. It's a squad. It's actually like Delta and Omega.
Yeah, because
like
this is
clones.
Ground. All right, so Iden Verso.
Four individuals.
What type of special operations soldier, right? Like Ranger.
So, yeah.
Army Ranger type.
So they're the best of the best.
Best of the best.
And her dad
Republic Commandos,
them.
But like Imperial Commandos, basically.
Kind of like. So she's a pilot. There's a guy she grew up with named Gideon Hask. He's also a really good pilot. Then there's a guy named Dell who is like a engineer mm-hmm. savant and a girl named Sin. And she is kind of like one of those that was working on the intelligence stuff, but she had like a really good memory. She was like the Michael Schofield of her time. She could look at something and just break it apart. And once she saw it, she would have it forever in her mind. So they get sent in on all these like black ops missions kind of stuff to the cleaners.
And is
and
this
stuff.
The story of them discovering the Emperor's dead? Or?
No, this is the story of how the squadron came to be formed. And how they decided who was going to lead it and their first few missions.
Gotcha.
And not all
time
the members
frame, time
will
frame.
Survive. So there's that little spoiler there. You know, you can't trust that everyone's going to make it out. And that's all I'm going to say. I won't tell you how many.
What's the time frame on it?
It is set... Saw Gerrera's partisans have just died. The Death Star 1 blew up. So I want to say the first chapter, you're in New Hope.
Nice.
So,
okay.
And then she survives.
Me-likey.
And then it's about
Me-likey.
Her going on. In fact, they use her as a undercover agent because of her survival of the Death Star that she's, quote, found out through, you know, the morals of all this that, you know, the Empire's bad. They came, they destroyed Alderaan, and oh my gosh, we've got to stand against them. And so that sweetens her up to what's left of the partisans who are now calling themselves the Dreamers. And so the main heart of the mission is how can we find out what the Dreamers, where they're getting...
Mm-hmm.
Did I drop off for you?
No, you're still there.
Okay. So how did they get the information? How are they getting that information? And how can we, you know, stop that and close this off so they can't come at it? It's interesting because you're in this position where you're like, you're rooting for the bad guys. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, this new empire isn't as bad as the old empire was.
And you really actually kind of want to root for the bad guys, quote unquote.
You do. You really do.
Interesting.
And so that gets hard.
Final question. What Star Wars fan, what kind of Star Wars fan is this book for?
This is definitely somebody that's going to want to play the Battlefront game. Someone that enjoys maybe even the Republic Commando type books because the way it's squad based. If you like espionage, you've got this double agent aspect to it. That's really fun. If you like James Bond, maybe this might be something for you, the Jason Bourne type stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I just finished that. And then the other side of it is, my other Boba's Bounty is we went down to the local rental shop that was closing up and they had everything for $1.50. I managed to pick up all of the Clone Wars, season 1, 2, 3, and 4.
What?
And Rebels season 1, all for, like $4 each kind of thing. Oh man,
dude,
it was insane.
Nicely done. Yeah. That's...
I was like, oh, my wife looks over and I'm just like, got 20 DVDs in my hand. She's like, what the hell? I'm like, give it all. It's the whole season.
Nice. That's amazing.
This is Steve Sansweet. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Yes, you are. And it's episode 300, like we say. So let's do it right now. Giveaway time. All right. I'm looking. See, I'm surrounded by so much junk. Like, the studio is an absolute wreck right now. I kid you not. I'm looking, yeah, there's piles of boxes and Lego and puzzles and trivia things and, like, a Darth Vader M&M machine and, like, a Stormtrooper Nutcracker and an art. Yeah, there's tons of stuff all around here. But what I've been doing is kind of going through all the stuff we've accumulated over the years because people, like, send us Star Wars items here and there, like this Porg mug, which is next to me right now. So I figured I'm sending Mark, I'm going to be sending you a bunch of boxes, and Mark's going to be doing some cool social media giveaways throughout the whole rest of the year. So, like, if you're not following us on Twitter and Facebook, do it, because Mark's going to be giving away some awesome stuff. We're also going to be doing more giveaways here on the main show and Star Wars Tonight as we get ready to go back to the, you know, that final 30-day countdown to... The Last Jedi.
The marathon sprint of Star Wars awesomeness.
In fact, if I have time, I might start a little early. It may be more like 60 days or 45 days or something like that, just for grinsies. So make sure you do that. But right now, in honor of our 300th episode, we've got three awesome prize packs. And here's how you get it. All you have to do is just hop on and leave us an iTunes review at starwarsreport.com/iTunes. It doesn't matter how long or short it is. You just email us right after you do with your iTunes username and let us know that you did it. And you'll automatically be entered in the hopper. We've been a little stagnant the last couple weeks. So, like, first couple people, you guys have a really good chance. So we got not one, not two, but three prizes. And this is how you win them. You literally just go, again, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Now, what are the prizes? I'm putting together three packs. Each is going to have their own Lego set. One of them's one of the microfighters. Each of them is going to have at least two Hasbro action figures from the Clone Wars era, and they're each going to have this awesome sort of tin replica of some of the original Marvel comic art in this really cool, like, 12x17 tin display thing. And I'm going to toss in a couple other random items. You know what, actually, I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to toss in one of the prize packages, this old, beautiful, official pick style one sheet photo of Billy D. Williams that is not autographed. So, all right, don't get your hopes up too much, because that's literally Billy D.'s manager gave that to me the first convention I ever went to, this tiny, tiny little hole in the wall in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, that had like 300 people attending. And Billy D. Williams was randomly there, and I asked if I could interview him. I didn't even have a podcast at that point. I was just kind of going to do it for the EU cast way back in the day.
Nice.
And of course, he said no. But he took pity on me and my mom, who was there. And he actually gave my mom a bunch of those prints, and I've had it forever. So a nice quality photograph of Billy D. Williams.
So- You know, we should raise the game. Whoever wins that, if they manage to go and get it signed by Billy Williams and send us a picture, we may put you in for another prize top of it.
Are you kidding me? If that happens, I'm just giving him like everything in this studio. I'm just like everything. So those are the prize packs, Hasbro action figures, Lego sets. It's going to be a great old time. Just, it's really simple. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, or if you're using the iTunes podcast app, you just can go and do it right there from the app. Leave us a rating and review. And if you're wondering, or if you've already left us a rating or review and you want to update it, that's fine. You can go in and update it and just like say your favorite episode or interview or moment or convention coverage. Just pick something about the show that that you remember you enjoyed sometime in the past 300 episodes. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And Mark, you know what that means? It means it's time to wrap up the 300th episode of the Star Wars Report. How about them apples?
Them apples taste like applesauce.
Uh-huh. I can't believe it, man. 300? We've been doing this for like 7 years, dude. It's,
it's weird.
It
like,
is weird.
And Nathan, when I talk to him about how long he's done it, like, he's back in 99 and stuff. It's just like...
Yeah, he was doing, fan audio back in the day. Yeah, yeah. So, seriously, thanks to everyone who supports us at Patreon and who make that happen. Thanks to our sponsor for this week, Sperry. Again, check out StarWarsReport.com/Sperry. We've also got... You can just click on the logo right on the website. We've got it right there, too, if you go to StarWarsReport.com. So, yeah, big thank you. Again, the social media, Mark's going to be doing some of those cool giveaways in the coming weeks. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. And, you know what? Bruce actually tossed this out another way. If you're not into the Patreon or anything else, check out, if you like audiobooks and you want to check out, like, Inferno Squad on audiobook, you can get it for free if you go to audibletrial.com/StarWarsReport. Makes it that easy. Mm-hmm. StarWarsReport@gmail.com is the email. And, of course, make sure if you're listening to this podcast and you're not subscribed, what are you doing? Subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. Man. Oh, Bruce. Bruce is not here, but you can follow him. It's at Admiral_Rex on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mark, you're on Twitter as well, at IllogicalRogue2. This is Rogue2.
Hey. Rogue2.
And then, of course, I am also available across social media. It is at The Riley Guy. At The Riley Guy on Instagram. Particularly, like, I mention Twitter all the time. I've been kind of having a great old time on Instagram and Instagram stories. And that's always been a blast. So make sure you follow me on Instagram at The Riley Guy. And I should probably also mention our YouTube. Still working on some plans to launch a YouTube series that'll be premiering very shortly and launching throughout the fall, analyzing the Star Wars films in their story structure. And so search for the Star Wars Report on YouTube. We'll get a vanity URL pretty soon so that it's easy to remember. So make sure that you check that out as well. For episode 300 of the Star Wars Report podcast, for Mark Herleman, for Bethany Blanton, for Bruce Gibson, and everyone who's contributed to this show... May the Force be with you! And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast!
With 300 years old, you look.
This is madness! This is Sparta!
You were saying, Mark?
When 300 years old, you get look this good, you will not.
I love that this is Sparta.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. Hey, if you're still listening to this, this is the post stinger. For the love of Pete, this is like, get a prize, because like, the likelihood of everyone just being like, I don't know, someone's already entered. No, they haven't. Seriously, just go get a prize right now. just iTunes, get a prize, free Lego. How about that? Dude. That's a show.
Yeah.
I actually don't have... Unfortunately, I've got a role tonight. Are you good for scheduling a quick interlude tomorrow for... we could do a segment for Rogue Transmissions tomorrow if you have a free window, and we could just reminisce on the... kind of look back over the 300 episodes and some favorite moments.
Possibly. Don't we have a meeting tonight right after this?
Do we?
Yeah, I thought we did.
Let me turn.
Bethany and William. Tuesday, 9:30. Wait, maybe it's even later. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we shifted things around.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. No, it's in a little bit. All right, yeah, we're good. All right, let me shut off the recorder here.
All right.
See you guys. All right.
Woo! Record.